May the words of my lips and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Do you please be seated? Well, many years ago, I used to work in a laboratory, and I learnt the importance of keeping the laboratory as clean as you could possibly make it. It not just helped you with organisation, but it lended towards more accurate results if you could keep your laboratory clean. I did once fill a laboratory with a foul-smelling brown foam by adding a couple of chemicals in the wrong order. I thought I could keep it quiet, but then my head of department and lots of prospective students immediately came through the door. But there you go. On the whole, I did a pretty decent job. It's nearly 100 years ago that a far more famous and somewhat disorganized scientist went on holiday. And when he got back, he noticed that a bit of kit that, had he done his job properly and cleaned it away before he left, was a bit funny. That's funny, you might have said. More importantly, he noticed there was something growing on that bit of kit. And even more importantly, he had the wit to notice what was not growing on that bit of kit. That's really funny. Penicillin, a naturally occurring fungus, had been discovered. And since then, many millions of lives have been saved by the discovery made after his holidays by Alexander Fleming in 1928. For any of you who do work in laboratories nearby, hold that one in your store if you ever get criticised for having a dirty desk. That's funny. We're not told what Peter and John said to each other as they left the empty tomb that first Easter day, or as the women left the tomb that they had found and went to tell the disciples later on. But that's funny might have been appropriate. There had been a stone door. Now there wasn't. There had been a body. Now there wasn't. But there was nothing to indicate that this was anything other than something odd. That it was an event even more extraordinary than Fleming's discovery. A moment in history that changed everything. As one of the Gospels tell us, as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. No one that morning was expecting anything dramatic to happen. The new week was beginning. And these disciples, men and women, were preparing themselves for a future without Jesus. Perhaps they were preoccupied with the choices facing them. Do they carry on the work of Jesus, but obviously without him? Do they go back to their former lives? Do they find the next big thing in spiritual teaching and follow after that? Do they join a more extreme group? Maybe the secret army gathering to fight the Romans? The disappearance of the stone and the body were odd, but nothing more. Resurrection was not part of the equation for them. Why would it be? It took Mary to realise. Mary, for whom the empty tomb wasn't a curiosity, but a tragedy. If she could no longer have the living Jesus, who had been so precious to her, she could at least honour him in his resting place. They'd had to bury him hurriedly because the Sabbath was approaching. No time for all the formal rituals of burial and death. And so on the Saturday night, as the Sabbath ended, she and the other women went to the market to buy the spices and things needed. And then the next morning went early to the tomb to do the last thing they could do for this Jesus. And I guess for that Mary, the void left by the removal of the stone, the absence of this beloved body, was devastating. She thought it couldn't get any worse. Hey, it had. I'm sure that's a familiar feeling to many here. And it was in the absolute depths of despair, as she cast around for someone to help, that she encountered him. For Mary, that encounter was with one she took to be a gardener. But in the other gospel stories, it says her name, just as he must have done hundreds, even thousands of times before. She didn't respond, "That's funny," though it was. Instead, she said, "Rabboni," recognizing the teacher she had followed and loved. She saw instantly the enormous significance of her discovery. However it had happened, and that was still a mystery, Jesus was not dead. In the certainty of her new truth, Mary went and told. She became the first apostle, the first evangelist, and the world has never been the same since. There was no fanfare announcing the resurrection, no angelic host proclaiming to shepherds on a hillside, "Go and see." It didn't happen in the full glare of the day for everyone to witness. In the darkness, hidden away quietly, something funny happened. The evidence was no more than a stone in the wrong place and an empty bench. Oddities that most people would never have noticed. For most people, it was and it remained a very ordinary day. Now, truth be told, Fleming's discovery wasn't really an accident. It was a lucky break. He'd been working for years on trying to find a way to stop people dying from infections. Just the same way, the resurrection was not an accident. It was strange, it was odd, but it was planned from the very beginning of time by the God whose intention was not merely to postpone death, but to defeat it entirely, to create a way that man and women and God and all could walk closely together with nothing impeding that relationship. At the heart of this strange story lies the steely determination of not just a scientist, but a creator who will not allow that creation to languish in the grave, but will do whatever is necessary to give it life that is truly life. Fleming's work was remarkable. Antibiotics have kept us alive for far longer than we might have done. But through this other mysterious, odd, quiet event, we are saved from death for all eternity. So today is truly a day to celebrate for us and for all creation. Amen.